Good morning, listeners. We continue our study on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as found in Galatians 5, 22-23, which states, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Today, we will focus on the second aspect of the fruit, which is joy. The Apostle Paul tells us that the life led by the Holy Spirit produces beautiful fruit, evidence that Christ lives in us. Among these is joy. In a world where there is so much discontent and unhappiness, we need to discover this joy in order to live with our lot in life. Joy may be defined as an inner happiness, not dependent on outward circumstances. Joy is not mere happiness. It is a deeper, richer, more enduring. It is not rooted in circumstances, but in Christ himself. It is said to be achieved when the Christian, using the acrostic of the word joy, prioritizes their focus, attention on Jesus first, others second, and themselves last. In our study today, we discover the following about joy. We discover the source of true joy, the difference between joy and happiness, a joyful life leads to a contented life, how to cultivate joy in the Spirit, and the witness of joy to the world. So firstly, the source of joy. Joy is not manufactured by us. It is given by God. In Scripture, joy is a deep gladness rooted in God's character and His work. Psalm 16:11 says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Jesus himself said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." When we abide in Christ, we share his joy, an eternal joy that flows from knowing him, loving him, and trusting him. Joy is often expressed in praise, thanksgiving, and hope, even in the midst of trials. Secondly, we see joy versus happiness. Happiness depends on circumstances, happenings. Joy, on the other hand, depends on Jesus. Happiness is fleeting, a good meal, a new job, a sunny day, but when the storm comes, happiness fades. Joy remains. Even in sorrow, believers can say like Paul, "sorrowful yet rejoicing." Why? Because our joy is rooted in our salvation, our relationship with God, and the hope of the glory to come. Thirdly, joy leads to contentment. Contentment is a settled peace with what God has provided, an inner sufficiency that trusts God in all circumstances. Paul writes, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Contentment is about resting in God's provision and sovereignty. Both joy and contentment are anchored in Christ, not in circumstances. They don't come from external comfort, but from knowing Christ. The prophet Habakkuk knew this kind of joy. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, he writes, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." The Apostle Paul also knew this kind of joy. Even when he was unjustly imprisoned, he could say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And also, "I have learned to be content." We find this in Philippians chapter 4. Knowing Christ as the source is both his contentment and joy. This contentment kills joy because it focuses on what's lacking. On the other hand, contentment shifts the focus from what I don't have to what I have in Christ. This guards the believer's heart from being stolen by greed, envy, or fear. On the other hand, joy strengthens contentment. Joy in God makes us less dependent on earthly things for satisfaction. When our greatest delight is in the Lord, we can be content whether we have much or little. Fourthly, cultivating the fruit of joy. The fruit of the Spirit grows when we abide in Christ, according to John chapter 15, verse 5. We take the conscious decision every day to follow Him and obey His commands. Also, it comes when we walk in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:16. Each day, we yield ourselves to the Spirit for Him to take control of every aspect of that day. Thirdly, we meditate on God's promises. His promises never fail, for no matter what promises God has made, they are always yes in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Fourth, we pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And fifthly, may the Lord your greatest delight. Psalm 37:4 states, "May the Lord your constant delight, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Let's examine our hearts constantly to see if there's anything in our lives which may be an idol, which will hinder our delight in the Lord. Then, confessing and renouncing them to God, renew our commitment to love and follow Him only. Joy strives with gratitude. It withers where grumbling grows. Lastly, we look at our witness of joy. A joyful Christian is a powerful witness. Our world is starved for lasting joy. When people see Christians rejoicing in trials, they wonder, "What do they have that I don't?" Paul and Silas sang hymns in prison. The other prisoners marveled as they sang their hymns. The early church rejoiced despite persecution, and others were led to faith because of their trust in God. We too are called to be lights, shining the joy of Christ in a dark world. Are you living the joy that only the Spirit gives, or are you depending on temporal things for happiness? Return to Jesus, abide in Him, ask the Spirit to fill you afresh. Then you can say, like with David, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." May the fruit of joy grow richly in you, overflowing to bless everyone you meet. Join me next Sunday as we look at the fruit of peace which the Spirit gives. Have a blessed and joyful week.